Okay. So we saw from the background of that little film that the background of that story was that Jesus had been teaching what we now know as the Sermon on the Mount, a series of different teachings. And Mahatma Gandhi said of the Sermon on the Mount that it was the greatest teaching that's ever fallen from human lips. And certainly, I think many people would agree with that. But at the end of this teaching, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "He who hears this teaching, he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms came, that house stood firm. But he who hears this teaching of mine, he who hears these words of mine, but dismisses them and just does what he wants, he's like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come, the whole thing is washed away." And just as we look at the story this morning, the first thing I want to say about it is I want us to look at the comparisons. Firstly, there's two men. Both of them hear the words of Jesus. It's not like one hears the words and the other hasn't heard, so he responds in a different way. Both hear exactly the same words. Both build houses, probably in very similar positions and situations, certainly in the same area so they could see each other. And both experienced the storm. It's interesting that just because somebody follows Jesus and someone puts their faith and trust in him, that doesn't mean that they won't experience storms in life. Being a Christian doesn't exempt you from problems and pressures and all kinds of things like that. So there are some of the comparisons. The contrast is this. One man heard and did something, and the other heard and did something completely the opposite. And there are consequences to the things we do, to the actions that we take in life. The consequence of the man who built his house on the sand was that when the storms came, everything was washed away because the foundations were not there. The consequence for the guy who built his house on the rock, he was safe, he was secure. So in life, there are consequences to our actions, both good and bad can come out of it. I've heard people say that it doesn't matter how I live my life, as long as I don't hurt anyone in the process, it's okay. But the reality is the choices we make in life, the way in which we build our lives, they affect others around us, don't they? You would have experienced that, I'm sure. Maybe some of the decisions that your parents made when you were growing up had an impact on you. Maybe some of the decisions that you made growing up have had an impact even till now, today. Maybe some of the decisions you made as parents or as adults have had a good impact or maybe not such a good impact on your wider family. There are consequences to our actions. When I was a teenager, I managed to get myself into trouble with the police on a number of occasions. I know it's hard for you to believe that, but it's true. And when I was 19, one of these occasions led to me being banned from driving. And at the end of this year's ban, when I was 20, I got my license back, and I thought, that's great, that's finished with, now I can get on with stuff. But of course, when I rang up the insurance company, guess what? I had to tell him I'd been banned. And my quote suddenly went from 200 to 600. And I had to tell the insurance company every single year for 11 years. One stupid decision or a number of stupid decisions led me to have 11 years of having that on my license and having to tell the insurance company. And I remember in my early 20s when I came to faith, I was talking to a Christian about it, and they said, well, why don't you tell the insurance company that you've become a Christian and that you don't do stupid things anymore? And I kind of laughed because I thought, well, I might become a Christian, but that doesn't mean I don't do stupid things anymore. But secondly, what has that really got to do with them? It's like someone who's committed murder and is in prison for a murder, and then they find Christ, they come to Christ in prison, and then the governor says, well, that's great, you can go now. That's not going to happen, is it? Because there are consequences to our actions. And this guy chose to go his own way. He chose to build his life upon what he thought was best. And he ignored the teachings. He ignored the words of Jesus. And there was a consequence. Now, the reality is, every single one of us this morning have a choice. These two guys had a choice what they were going to do with the words of Jesus. And every single one of us here this morning have a choice what we're going to do with the words of Jesus. Every single one of us have heard the words of Jesus. None of us are without excuse. Every single one of us are building on something or somebody. That's true. Every single one of us builds. Our lives are being built on something or somebody. And every single one of us have or will do in the future face storms of life. And that's the truth. That's the reality. So the choice or the challenge we have is to think about what actually are we building on? What actually are we building on the rock? Are we living out the words and the teachings of Jesus? You know, I've had people say that often the teaching from the front, or certainly the small group notes that we do and that we hand out, they're very applicational. So when you go through the questions, they're very much about application. What does this passage mean for me today? How does it apply to my life? And there's a kind of reason for that, because I feel it's really important. And I get that from the fact that when you look at the teachings of Jesus, that when Jesus came and he taught the individuals, he taught the disciples, he taught the crowds, he wasn't teaching them in order just to give them some information. He wasn't teaching in such a way that they would grow in their head knowledge, although the head knowledge is good, information is good, because when you've got the right information, you can make the right choices. But what he was teaching was for a response. His teaching was done in such a way that he was looking for a response, a change in these people, a change of heart, a change of direction. He was saying, come, follow me. Change the direction you're walking in. Trust in me. Change what you're putting your faith and trust in. He was saying, do what I do. Don't just listen, but do it. Act upon it. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. When Jesus taught the disciples and he taught the crowds and he teaches us still today, he says, let your light shine. He says to us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Therefore, make a difference. He says, as we saw in the film, love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you. He says, turn the other cheek. He says, go the extra mile. He says, do not judge, because if you do, the measure you use will be measured against you. He said, forgive as I've forgiven you. He says, be gracious and merciful as I am gracious and merciful. He says, when you pray, don't, you know, like the religious leaders, blow your trumpet. Do it in secret. Pray to me. He says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but trust me. I know what you need. He says, don't store up for yourself treasures here on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Invest in kingdom things. It's challenging if we're serious. The Sermon on the Mount is very challenging, and it causes for a response. Are we going to take seriously the words and the teachings of Jesus? Are we going to build on the right foundations? What stops us from building on the right foundations? And I'm thinking about myself here, okay? So when I'm saying this, this is to myself, and these are the things that I struggle with. The things that stop me or hinder me or kind of cause there to be difficulty in building on the right foundations is self-centeredness. You see, Jesus' teaching was very much God-centered and then other-centered. Whereas when I make decisions in life, often they're very much self-centered. They're very much based upon me and what I'm going to get out of it. Because I'm at the very center of my life. So what suits me? What fits me? How I'm going to give? How I'm going to serve? What I enjoy? What I like? Self-centeredness. Sometimes it's fear and doubt. You know, if I really do what Jesus says, you know, if I forgive my neighbors, if I'm good to them, what happens if they hurt me again? What happens if I give generously? I give and, you know, suddenly I might not have enough for myself. Can I trust Jesus? Can I trust in his promise? Is he really good? Will he really come through for me? Or do I have to build my own foundation, as it were? Just put some things in place, just in case Jesus doesn't quite come up with the goods. What else can stop us? Pride. Actually, we think it's a crazy way to live. It's a crazy way to live. Surely we should be looking after ourselves. Surely, you know, we take care of ourselves and, you know, we look after number one. There's so many different things that could stop people from building on the right foundations. They're just some of the things that I struggle with. And the warning is here, and the warning is clear. For those of us who hear the words of Jesus but decide, actually, it's not for me. Or we decide, actually, half-heartedly, or maybe I'll do some of them, but maybe I won't do them all. When the storms of life come, and they will come, when life as we know it ends here, and it will, we shouldn't be surprised if everything is washed away. But for us who have decided to put our faith and trust in Jesus and have decided as best we can to put his teaching, to put his words into action, individually, as a family, as a church family here, then we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be overly concerned about the future because we can trust him. Because he promises to be our rock and our salvation. And when the storms come, which they will, and when life as we know it ends, there is no fear. Because we built upon the rock. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your teaching. Jesus, we thank you for your amazing teaching. Lord, it's just so upside down. It's just the complete opposite to what we often learn and as we're growing and developing in this world and in this life. Lord, it's so counterculture, and Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us glimpses of truth. And Lord, I pray today that you would just implant on our hearts and in our minds just the importance of your teaching, of your words to us, and the instructions that you give to us in how we are to live, in how we are to act, in how we are to treat one another, in how we are to serve, in how we are to give, in every single area of church life, of family life, of community life, of society life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just imprint it on our hearts. And Lord, you give us faith, you give us courage to make the right choice, that we would choose to build our lives upon you, that we would choose individually as a church family here to put your words into practice. In the coming weeks and months and years, we pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen.